Wow. After that introduction, I can't wait to hear me. Oh. I want you to know I'm glad the Lord's in this place. Amen. And Miss Lana, I appreciate. And I know more people here than I thought I did. Amen. I remember she comes to church down here. And of course, we're neighbors in Allegheny County, too. She was up there. And then I've known her from down here. And I'm going to say something. I'm going to take a minute to say this. I wasn't going to do it, but she may not even know this. But her dad was one of the reasons that I'm doing what I'm doing today. Went Hallbrook, you may not know who that is, some of you may not know, but he was a deacon, run the Baptist Tabernacle for years, years, and years. When I was a kid, things are a lot different now, and I guess I'm getting a little older, but when I was a kid, the deacons at that church anyway all sat on the front two rows. When I was about 13, I decided I was going to move from my seat where Mama and Daddy sat, and I was going to the front row of the deacons. Not one time did Wint Hallbrook ever tell me, get away from here. Don't set up here. He made me a play. I still remember it like it was yesterday. He had a blue Bible. Carried that blue Bible all the time. He said, sit down right here. Me and him, I sat with him about every service. Me and him would pick, we'd cut up. And he had this thing. Me and my brother, we'd get our hair cut real short. And he didn't have much hair himself. He said when he went to the barber shop, the people charged him for trying to find the hair instead of cutting it. And he'd come up and he'd rub your head like that, you know. And he made an influence on me in my lifetime. And that's what young people, the older people, need to do in the church. Yes, and he encouraged me.
Amen.
Encouraged me.
Amen.
To do something for God. Now and our singing, me and my brother sing a little bit, and he would encourage that. And the other men did too. And you know, from that, Lord called me to preach. And I mean, God bless me. But I just think about people that's gone on. And he always said, I believe the rapture's going to come. I just don't believe I'm going to die until the rapture comes. And the Lord didn't see fit for that. But I'll tell you what, if there's one man could have beat it, he could have. Amen. And I just love people. Brother Marvin Blackman, good to see you and Miss Betty.
Yes.
Miss Betty, you didn't hear me a while ago. I don't know how in the world you turned out to be such a good lady and Jenny turned out so wrong, your sister. And no, she's a good lady. I'm kidding. Jenny, get me over that. But Jenny, if y'all know Jenny, she's a good lady. But I pick at her all the time. And Brother Marvin and Miss Betty are special to me, and I thank God for y'all. And Brother Marvin, I don't know if he feels sorry for me or he likes to hear me preach about everywhere I'm at up here. He'll come, and I appreciate you doing that. Amen. And he listens to our station. I want to take a minute or two here. I'm trying not to take long. But I do, and I don't want to kill the spirit here. We've got a great spirit tonight, and I don't want to kill the spirit. But I do want to take a minute or two, if it's all right with the pastor, and talk about, just for a minute, the radio ministry. Now, tomorrow night, I'll try to bring you some prayer cards. We have just gotten our hands back around. Let me explain. I've been with Gospel Broadcasting since 1999. I founded the ministry with $700 in a coffee can. Okay? And I never knew that day that we'd be doing what we're doing today. Now, I have pastored a couple of churches within that 19 years, and I thank God for the pastoring, but I think I had too much on me, and I think you can't do two things well. You really can't. So, in December, I made the decision that we're going to do radio, and I'm not going to say I won't ever pastor again. We'll leave that up to God. I can say I won't ever do nothing. I can go to the mission field yet. I don't know. But, as of right now, I'm going to do this. It's what God wants me to do. And we got back and we got our hands around Gospel Broadcasting and began to upgrade. And we wrote down a list of things that we needed done. And we started in January just going wide open. And in the last 3 months, God has blessed us. We have almost rearranged the whole ministry. Now, we operate two Christian radio stations. And our stations are a little bit different. They are non-commercial stations or listener-supported stations. You'll hear some underwriting spots on there, but you won't hear all the worldly stuff. We play the old-time music, the old-time stuff like Primitive Quartet, Inspirations. We even play Joe Arthur. I don't know why we play him, but we do. I think we feel sorry for him. We even play Scott Caudle. I heard Scott Caudle here a while ago. I thought, if he's here, I'm going to the house. Amen. But I know where he's preaching at tonight. Actually, he's a Dr. Beatty today. And Scott, Brother Caudle's my friend. We play him. We play a lot of good singing. And so I encourage you, Sparta is 1060 on your AM dial. That's WCOK out of Sparta. We own that station also. And then we own WYZD, which is our 4,000-watt station out of Dobson, North Carolina. It's 1560. Now, That's the two radio stations that reaches 168,000 potential listeners just on the radio alone. Now, SkyBest Telephone Company, and these telephone companies have been real good to me, they have let us be on their music channels, on their TV network. And so we're going into Watauga, Ashe County, Avery County, Shady Valley, Tennessee, and other places on that county. And man, people are listening on that TV site. So that gives us even more listeners. And what we're doing in Dobson is the Federal Communications Commission is allowing us to put up, because we have sun up to sundown stations, and you know, AM goes in and out. They're allowing us to run these FM translators. Best way I can describe it to you in layman's terms, they're little baby FM stations is what they are. They don't get out too far. But, they do pretty good. They're supposed to get out 15 miles each direction. So we're putting that up in Dobson. It'll be 95.9. It'll be up sometime in August, September. Well, it ain't official yet, and the newspaper's after me, and I got to watch what I say. But there's also an announcement for Sparta coming too, but it's not there yet, so I'm waiting on that. So that's going to give us even more listeners. Now, that's the radio side. That's what we do. Also, you can get us online, and many people do it on their phone. Now, we don't have the apps yet. They're coming. We will get apps. But right now, you can go to TuneIn Radio and download the TuneIn Radio app and put the WYZD call letters or the WCOK letters, and you can download either app you want to on your phone or on your smart TV. I got them on my TV. And you can listen that way. We have people listening that way. So we have a lot of outlets. We broadcast 24 hours a day at both stations. Although the AM shut off at sundown, we continue to broadcast all night long through the internet and through the apps and all that. I would tell you, if you go to WYZD right now, there's something wrong with that stream. I'm not sure what happened, but something malfunctioned yesterday afternoon, and it's just making a weird noise on there. I don't know what's going on with it. But anyway, we operate all that, and so you pray for us about that. God's been good to us and allows it. Now, that's only part of what we do. The rest of what we do is what I originally started doing was radio broadcasts. I don't want to say this because, I mean, I'm way down there, but I'm telling you what Jesus has done, not what Ricky's done. Jesus did this. I'm all over the southeast of the United States on radio. We go into Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana. I don't know where else, Virginia, I don't know. And we reach the potential market area of 2 million people a day on radio. You would not believe the letters I get in the mail. Now, I'm a radio preacher. I'm not a good one, but I am one. And there's not many of us, and I'm not knocking people, whatever they do, but a lot of preachers use church message on the radio. That's fine. If you use my church message, you'd have to do a lot of editing. But that's fine. I'm not mad about that. But I'm just simply telling you that people, you know, they're turning into these psychologists and these modern versions of the Bible. You know why? Because us fundamentalists don't see the need to put something out on the radio. We don't see the need to preach on the home and the family and the Holy Spirit and prayer and all that kind of stuff. We don't see the need to do that. I mean, I'm not knocking preaching. Any way a man preaches is fine to me as long as he's preaching the Bible. But you know, a lot of times on the radio, what we got is a bunch of hollering and screaming and nobody knows what they say. I want to help people. If I go to the doctor, and I've got a lot of friends of mine in the medical profession, and that ain't good. Never make friends with your doctors. But I got a lot of good friends of mine are doctors, and but if I went to the doctor and the doctor started hopping around my chair and screaming and hitting me on the head, you got cancer, you're going to die. I'd say, man, he's a kook. Now, I know I'm not making fun of preaching, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. We need, when we preach, to have substance. Now, style is okay. I mean, I can hop on one leg, I can put the offering plate on my head and it never move. I guarantee you. I can set that bottle of water on my head right there and never move it. You don't believe I can do it. But style is not important. What is important is substance tonight. What is important tonight across America, people are hurting. There are saved people that need help. There are people that are not even clear on the doctrines of the Bible. Several weeks ago, quickly, I've got to tell you this, I'm going to get in the message. Several weeks ago, I was in Madisonville, Kentucky. I got a phone call from a radio listener. I you never know what you're getting into, and I don't like to answer the phone, but the secretary said, you got a phone call. I went there and I answered. The fellow on the other end was... He said, I want to talk to you about something. He said, I heard you mention about speaking in tongues on the radio. I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to know that I'm Pentecostal. And he said, I want to understand what you were trying. He was not arguing with me. He wanted to understand me. I told him what the Bible said. Man said, okay. He said, now you're preaching on Sunday morning there, right? I said, yes. He said, I'll be to hear you. Well, we had a big snowstorm. Brother Shepherd had service anyway. Brother Farrell Shepherd's a pastor up there. He had service anyhow. And the man drove on ice 50 miles. Well, if you've ever heard me on the radio, you know I got a saying on there sometimes, hogwash and pickle juice, that's what I say. I was sitting in the preacher's office, and so helped me, the Jolly Green Giant. Well, I mean, this guy is tall as Goliath. I mean, I've never seen a guy that tall in my life. He walks in that office, and some of us men are sitting there, and he said, where's hogwash and pickle juice? I wouldn't go admit it. I wanted to punch the guy beside me and say, right here he is. I didn't know if that guy was for me or against me. Amen. I mean, it'd take 3 days to climb him. Amen. I mean, he was way up there, boy. And I reluctantly said, right here I am, little frail voice, you know. And I preached, shook hands with him. He was nice to me. A few days ago, I got a letter. He said, dear preacher, you really helped me that day I talked with you. Tell it everywhere. Tell it to anybody you want to. Use it. He sent me $100 and two knives in the mail. Let me tell you something. That not all people are argumentative. I had a lady the other day, 70. I thought she was in her 40s. I didn't know. She wrote me, had some marital questions about marriage. Well, a lot of preachers shy away from that. I answered them according to the Bible. I don't know if I told her what she wanted to hear or didn't tell her what she wanted to hear. Come to find out, the lady's in her 70s. I didn't know that. I get a letter back in the mail, said, dear sir, I have wrote several preachers. Nobody will answer me back on these questions. Thank you, sir, for answering my questions, and sent a donation into the ministry that we didn't ask for. The other day I got another letter, she sent another donation into the ministry. Well, all I can say is those preachers missing out, they ought to answer those questions, amen? And I'm not after people's money, and I want you to understand that, but I'm going to tell you one thing, what I live and breathe to help people. And my philosophy about coming here to this church is if I cannot help you and you feel better in your soul and spirit when I leave here on Wednesday night, then I've failed as a preacher. I'm not in this for fame. I'm not in it for who I know. I'm in this to help people. And I mean, I had a 13-year-old boy write me and told me God called him to preach. And the best letter I ever got was a letter, and it said, dear sir, could you tell an old drunk woman how to get saved? Boy, you better believe I responded back to that one. Amen? Now, I can't write you a missions letter. Tell you I've had 13 saved this week and 300. And by the way, I'm not knocking that. I got friends of mine in the prison ministry, and they receive a lot of results, and I'm glad they do. But let me tell you what radio is. It's a sewing ministry. Anybody ever heard of a man? I know Brother Marvin has. Anybody ever heard of a man by the name of Noah Fry? Brother Noah Fry is my dear friend, one of my dearest friends. Matter of fact, he laid his hands on me one night and told me, he said, I'm too old now, son. You carry the radio ministry. Scared me to death. But you know how Noah Fry got saved? He got under conviction listening to a man by the name of Oliver B. Green on the radio. Now, I had a preacher tell me this the other day. He said, radio's dying. He said, it's going away. Not if I can help it, it ain't. Not if I can help it, it ain't. And I'm talking about the right kind of radio. I ain't talking about radio that promotes the NIV Bible and women preachers. I'm talking about the kind of radio that you and your family can listen to and get a blessing out of it. Amen. So I hope you'll tune us in on the internet, but also follow us on Facebook. We do have the Gospel Broadcasting page. By the way, I believe in promotion any way you can do it. Amen? And so you follow us, and if you got any questions, if you missed any of that, get with my wife or me. We'll talk to you about it after service. All right, that's enough about that, but God is using the radio ministry. So I guess I'm an evangelist, missionary, whatever. We're supported by churches and by faith, and God blesses and meets the needs, and I've just never seen what God's doing these days. Brother Marvin told me, he said, life's going to get better. I don't know if I believed you or not, preacher, but it has. Amen. Brother Marvin, Miss Betty's my friend. Thank you, and all the rest of you. Now, thank you, Brother Hayworth, for letting me come. Y'all be nice to him. Today's his birthday. Amen. And I appreciate that. I found that out this morning. I heard somebody talking about it, and I found it out. I think he got surprised this morning when his children were singing to him over here, and I loved every minute of it. Amen. Look, man, if people's going to do stuff to me, I want them to do stuff to him, too. You know, I mean, it's like this. When I turned 50, I had two yahoos. I mean, girls working for me. They don't work for me now. But I had two girls working for me, and they're good kids. I love them both. They decided to decorate my office black. They taped 50 signs to my phone, to my computer, to my chair. I wasn't there that day. I wasn't going to be there because if I had, I'd have hung two girls. Amen? But anyhow, I don't know what work they got done that day. They spent the whole day decorating my office. But anyway, and they just people. And you know, I take a good joke. I love it. Amen? I don't know. Well, tonight, now I want you to open your Bible. Pray for me tonight. Pray for me. I'm going to preach something here a little bit different. than what I usually preach. And I'm going to have to, I hope you don't mind, I don't think you're one of these kind of churches that, well, praise God, I don't want the preacher to use notes. Well, you better hope I use some tonight. I'm going to be lost to the ball and high weeds. I've got to stay with this. I ain't talking about salvation-wise either. I got to stay with this. I want to show you something from the Bible that will help you. And I'm going to say, go ahead and say this. I announced it on the radio, so if the preacher hears it, he won't have a heart attack. On Tuesday night, God's already given me the green light. I'm leaving room for the Holy Spirit to change my mind. But if God don't change my mind Tuesday night, you say, why Tuesday? That's what God said. Tuesday night, I want to preach a message to you. If you're here and you've lost a loved one recently, or you're here and you've had somebody in your family that's passed away, I'm going to preach something Tuesday night that I've never preached in my life. You need to be here. And I'm going to show you something from the Bible, and I believe when you leave here Tuesday night, it'll put you on shouting ground. I'm going to show you something Tuesday night, and I want you to be here. Then tomorrow night, I got something special I want to preach. And then Wednesday night, if the Lord lets me do what I want to Wednesday night, I'm going to preach something that'll change your life forever. Wednesday night, it's changed mine. And I'm going to preach something Wednesday night. And it's not me. I'm just telling you what God's given me. Now, tonight, the book of Psalms, please. The book of Psalms. Again, tonight, chapter number, or Psalms are not chapters, but Psalm 51. Psalm 51 tonight. And Psalm 51 tonight. And I'm going to share a verse with you. I'm going to also be tonight, and I'm not going to read there yet, but I'm also going to be in Galatians chapter 5. And I'll show you how I'm going to hook this together in just a minute. But Psalm 51, I'm going to read the text verse, and then I'll be over in Galatians 5 for really the heart of the message tonight. But let's read Psalm 51. We'll worry about Galatians later. Psalm 51 tonight, verse number 10. But I want you to stand with me, please. I thank you for the good liberty today and the good unity. And this is a good church, and I appreciate you being here. Now, I am going to keep this with me. Don't let that bother you. This is my scriptures printed out. But I'm going to keep this with me so that I can give you. It is not the speed in which I preach. It is the substance, and let the Holy Spirit deal with your heart, okay? Now, I'm not against wide open preaching. I'm not against that. But tonight, I want to slow down, and I want to help you from the Word of God. Psalm 51, verse 5. Verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. Let's read tonight. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, our Heavenly Father, I have never preached this sermon in my life. You gave me this the other day. I want it to be a help to these people, God, tonight. I got a feeling you're going to let me record this for radio, and I want to use it there too. And I confess every sin, Lord, and help me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, one of the things that one of the biggest problems tonight with saved people is not on the outside. But one of the biggest problems is on the inside with our spirit. And you know, to have revival, you got to be right on the inside, and then it'll come out on the outside. Amen? I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, a right spirit. Now, let me give you some background. Psalm 51 is one of the most amazing psalms in your Bible. Psalm 51 was written by David. And it was written by David after he had committed the horrible sin with Bathsheba. He committed the sin of adultery. And then not only did David commit the sin of adultery, David committed the sin of murder. He had Uriah the Hittite killed. Now that was a bad sin. And remember, the Bible left off in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel and said, the thing that David did displeased the Lord. And we know for 9 months, the man that prayed 7 times a day, the man that loved God, the man that wrote a lot of our Bible, a lot of our Psalms, we know for about at least 9 months that man was in the wrong spirit or out of the fellowship of God. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation tonight. I'm talking about having a clean, right spirit in your heart. Did you know tonight people are filled with bitterness and ill will and jealousy and unforgiveness, and all kinds of... Well, preacher, you don't understand what happened to me 39 years ago. Forget that, man, and live. Did you know there are people tonight that cannot live full lives because they're always dwelling on what happened years ago? Yeah. There are husbands and wives tonight. They can't live full lives because they got in an argument in 1925 and they've never got it settled yet. Now, friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. The only way to be happy and the only way to be free in the Lord and the only way to be excited in the Lord is to have all that junk out. And have a right spirit. You know what David said? He come before God. He knows he's sinned. Nathan, the prophet, came down there and he said, thou art the man. David heard the word of God, Brother Marvin, and David got right with God. And as he got right with the Lord, David said, God, create in me a clean heart. And then he said this, renew within me a right spirit. God, put it back in there like it used to be. You remember when you first got saved? By the way, Brother Miller over here having a spell a while ago, that didn't bother me. He wasn't having a fit. He's reaping benefits. Amen. Saved by grace. Hallelujah. I'm glad mercy walked in. Amen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you something now. But you know, to get like that, you got to have everything out of your heart. Amen. And did you know when David said, now, Lord, I want you to put it back. The word renew means to put it back to its original state. I mean, I want it put back like, you remember the day you got saved? Boy, I remember the night I got saved. I didn't get a hold of all of what happened to me, but somebody got a hold of me. And I remember going to school the next day in the fifth grade. And man, I felt so clean. I could swung over hell on a rotten rope and kick the devil in the ear. Boy, I mean, man, I was clean. And I can't say over the years that I've always stayed that clean. You say, preacher, you ever been mad in your life? Fat cat heavy? Hey, man, I got to handle something tomorrow, and I want to be in the right spirit about it. Amen? Because we got done wrong this weekend by our company, done our ministry wrong, jerked our stream out from us right in the middle of time. We was raising money, and I got to handle that thing tomorrow. I'm going to be in the right spirit about it. Lord, want me to preach this message tonight and get me right for tomorrow. See, I'm not just preaching, but now y'all sitting there, y'all don't know what I'm going to say, and you think, oh, no, he's going to skin our hide. No, it's not like that. I'm just trying to tell you, I want a right spirit within me, don't you? Listen, I don't care what it costs me. If I've wronged somebody, I want to get it right. If you've wronged somebody or something, you ought to get it right. If you've got something in your heart that happened 7 years ago, you ought to get it right with God. Brother Marvin Blackburn will tell you this. He's been in the ministry a long time. Brother Hayworth's been in it long enough. He's seen it too. I know men of God that ran the race very well. I mean, they were Bible preachers. They preached all over the country. And the last 5 years of their ministry, they have ruined it because they got bitter at every preacher in the country. Yeah. I had something happen to me a few months ago. Brother Marvin knows a little bit about the situation. And you know what? Brother Larry Brown from Washington, Iowa, asked me a question the other day. Brother Larry Brown said, Ricky, that little squeaky voice, you know, I love Brother Larry Brown. He said, I want to ask you a question. He said, you ain't bitter, are you? I said, no, sir, Brother Larry. Glory to God, do I look like I'm bitter? I'm as happy as a lark in a lemon bush if a lark gets in the lemon bush. Amen? Well, listen, you can't go through life being bitter at people. You've got to have the right spirit. And that's the only way God will bless you, to have the right spirit. Now, you say, well, what are you going to do? How do you get the right spirit? And that brings me to Galatians chapter 5. You see, the right spirit, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, you'll find the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And here's the deal about the fruit of the Spirit. Did you know what that is the Holy Ghost producing fruit in you after you get saved? So the right spirit tonight is found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. There are nine attributes. You say, good night, if you preach on those, we'll never get out of here. I had a fellow one night, he preached for about 30 minutes in my church, a young preacher, and then he turned over to Galatians 5 and started down the fruit of the Spirit. I said, man, we'll be here the new year. But no, I promise you I won't. I'm just going to show you some things. We're going to go to the house. Galatians 5, 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The right spirit tonight is found right here. I want the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be manifested in my life. Amen? If we don't get to all of them, let's just deal with a few of them. Let's deal with the inward part of that fruit. You see, the first three are inward. The first three are inward, dealing with yourself, you and yourself. The second three are outward, that's dealing with you and mankind. The third three are upward, and they deal with you and God. Now, right here's the deal. Did you know some people can't get along with theirself? You know why some folk don't like each other? They don't like theirself. You see, they're missing the they quench the Spirit so bad that the first three can't be manifested. Like love. Love. Let me tell you something. If you're right with the Lord now, you need to have the spirit of love. Love needs to be, love is the right spirit. Did you know that? Love covereth all sin, man. I mean, if you love somebody good enough, you'll overlook their faults. You know that? I mean, you got to love tonight. Love is what you... Well, you say, preacher, what do you love? I just wrote down a few things. Number one, you ought to love Christ. Amen. Man, if you're saved, you ought to exhibit a spirit of I love... And I'm not just talking about some of this fake stuff. I'm talking about really loving God. I mean, you're saved by grace. Don't get bitter at Jesus. He's never done nothing to you. Man, love Him. I mean, it's not me or some other preacher, Brother Hayworth or Brother Blackburn or somebody else. It's God tonight. Love Jesus Christ. He's never let you down. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, that church sure did hurt me, but Jesus never has. Right. Somebody said, well, preacher, that fella sure did hurt me, or that sister let me down, but Jesus never has. Amen. You see, if I got my eyes on Him, I'm not looking at you. Praise God, the Bible said, looking unto. I'm looking up, amen. If I look up, I won't see you. We ought to love Christ. Amen. Have the spirit of love. Then I say this, you ought to love your companion. Amen. The spirit of love. If you're married tonight, husband and wife, you say, well, I never tell my wife I love her. You ought to try it sometime. Praise God, it might get you a steak or extra pot of beans or something. I don't know. I don't ever tell him I love him. Let me tell you, you say, well, I wasn't raised that way. Oh, don't come off of that stuff. Let me tell you something. You need to tell each other you love each other every once in a while. I mean, every 2 or 3 hours would be okay. Well, I just think you can tell them you love them too much. You ought to sue your brain for non-support, amen? I want to tell you, hey, man, I'm going to tell you, God give me a good wife, and I love her. I thank God my wife, amen? And I believe she loves me. Listen, man, I mean, listen, the spirit of love ought to be there, amen? Love your companion, amen? Then I say this, you ought to love Christian people. Amen. Yeah, love other Christians tonight. Preacher, I just don't like them. I ain't never met a man I don't like. Now, I met some fellas that, I'll be honest with you, I see them come out to go the other way. They'll talk your head off or they're going to do something negative or something like that. I had a preacher this afternoon woke me up from my nap at that point in time. I didn't love him too good. I told him. He said, I just called you. I said, I know you called to wake me up. I know what you did. And I just, I'm honest with you, I'm just picking me. But no, the deal is, what love other Christians. Did you know there are people that they won't get along with nobody else? There are people in one church, they won't get along with somebody in another church, amen? Hey, did you know you ought to love each other, man? I mean, listen, you say, but preacher, I just don't like their ways. But don't worry about their ways, just love them, amen. Love people. Have the spirit of love is the right spirit tonight. And it's the opposite of bitterness and contrariness, amen. Did you know you ought to love the church? Yeah. Amen. You say, the church, well, if I didn't love the church I went to, I wouldn't go there, amen. Yeah, I would, I'd get right. I love Northwood Baptist Church in Yadkinville. That's my home church. And by the way, I'm not going to let anybody stand and put my church down. No, sir. And I love my pastor, Brother Alan Barker. You say, well, I know some things on him you don't know. Well, don't tell me. Amen. Let me tell you something. I love my preacher. He's not perfect. No, sir. Now, me and him's close. I love him. Now, I can aggravate him, but you better not aggravate him. Amen. I mean, I'm close to my preacher, and I love him death. And I was telling Brother Hayworth a little trick I pulled him last week, and I feel bad about it. But anyway, but I do. Sorry, I do love my preacher, and I love my church. And any frog that won't croak on his own pond ain't much of a frog. Amen. And you ought to thank Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, best church around here. Amen. Amen. Now there's some good churches in Wilkes County. Brother Paul Sizeloaf over here, he's on my board already. He's one of my three bosses. Don't tell him that; it'll go to his head. But anyway, he's a good man. Brother Donnie Shoemate, he's a good fella. They're good preachers in Wilkes County. But let me tell you, well, the best church for you ought to be Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. And by the way, the best pastor ought to be Brother Brady Hayworth. And the best pastor's wife ought to be Miss Hayworth. Amen? And you ought to love them. They're your preacher, and they're your preacher. He didn't tell me to say them, because God said, I mean, the right spirit is the spirit of love. And love your church. Amen. And then I'm going to say you ought to love your country. You say, why? Is that the right spirit? Well, I'll tell you one thing. What we're seeing in this country ain't the right spirit. God never called anybody to go up and riot up and down the streets and burn buildings down. Man, I love America, don't you? Yeah. By the way, do you know David? The same man wrote Psalm 51. He had the right spirit about his country. Old 9-foot-tall Goliath come out there, and David said, I put an end to him. He said, I love Israel. Why, Saul and all that crowd, a bunch of cowards, and that's why they picked Saul to be king. Boy, they got one, didn't they? Head and shoulders above the rest. You know what? He was the biggest coward in the whole bunch. And they picked him to fight their battles. He wouldn't have fit his way out of a paper sack. And if God turned him into a June bug, he wouldn't have made a splat on a windshield. He's scared to death. Yeah. He's sitting over there scared to death. I mean, just scared to death. And old David said, and old Saul puts that armor on him, you know. It's kind of like his contemporary outfit, you know, armor of them NIV Bible, and all that worldly music, you know, and he walked. He said, I can't go with that stuff. He threw it off. He went down in the brook, got him one of them stones, amen, hit that giant. You know why? He had the spirit of love. He loved his nation. You know what? Tonight, instead of having the old hateful spirit, have the spirit of love. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Then I'm going to say quickly, tonight, what about joy? Man, did you know what joy is? In the Hebrew and in the Greek, that word in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and in Galatians chapter 5, the same word right there means gladness. You ought to just be good. You know, you can have joy when you ain't got happiness. Now, happiness comes and goes, but you can be glad. You know, the day we buried my mama, Brother Marvin was there. I mean, I was so sad and heart broke. But there was something on the inside of me when I got to thinking about where she was, and I got up there preaching that funeral, and my cousin sitting over here somewhere, and he got to amen in that thing, and I mean the Holy Ghost got in there. I had joy. You say, preacher, you can't have joy at a funeral. Don't you tell me that, praise God. The Bible said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I want the spirit of joy, don't you?
Amen.
Several years ago, I went to Alabama. There was a preacher. He was 82. He said to me, now I want you to come and teach Sunday school and preach for me. Now, I'm not making fun. We got some older folk in here, and I'm heading toward 82 right now. In 30 more years, I'll be there, and I'm not making fun of you. But I thought 82-year-old pastor, and he'll probably be on the cane. If he ain't on the cane, he'll be real slow anyway, and he probably won't say a whole lot, and I don't know what he's got me doing. So I go teach his Sunday school for him. Well, he looked pretty healthy to me. And at preaching time, that 82-year-old man gets up there, and I mean, he's almost dancing. He's, I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Man, he's just getting on with it. I said, glory to God, that's the kind of fellow I want to be around. I want joy, don't you?
Amen.
Brother Miller, ain't nothing wrong with what you did a while ago. Your cup ran over, and I like it, amen. Hallelujah, amen. You say, well, I think church ought to be real quiet. Why don't you go to the funeral home and let the rest of us stow here? Amen. I like church, don't you?
Amen.
And glory to God, I want joy.
Amen.
Now, I know I use a little humor, and somebody said, I just don't know about confidence. He just laughs through, hey, buddy, you're going to have enough dark heels. You don't have to look like you're sucking lemons and eating sour cucumbers and drinking sour milk. Well, glory to God, you can enjoy the blessings of God and have joy in your soul.
Amen.
I want the spirit of joy. Not all the time do I joy, but I'm trying to get better at it. I really am. My wife told me, they said, you need to be more positive. And I do. I really do. Blind people are negative. Did you know that naturally? They are, really. Amen. And anybody here, I think he used to, y'all know Ryan Marlowe, right? And Miss Marlowe's grandson, I mean, I don't know how she inherited a grandson like him. But anyway, Ryan Marlowe is my twin brother. I mean, he's exactly the opposite. He's Mr. Positive. He's so positive, he gets on my nerves. I love him, but I love that guy. I mean, I love him. He is just, so, and me and him, I mean, he's like positive, and I'm negative. You know, you get scared, we have thunderstorm. We love each other. I mean, you know, I love to be around him. He's so positive about it. I wish I could be like that. I mean, I can look at anything, and it's negative. I look at anything, it's just negative. I see the negative, I shouldn't do that. But I want to have the spirit of joy. Did you know an old bitter spirit will rob your joy? It'll rob you, boy. Amen. You ought to rejoice in the good times. If God's blessed you, rejoice. You can have joy in the sad times. That's depression, discouragement. You can have joy in the hard times. I mean, you're going to have some hard times now. Well, I just don't believe a Christian will have a hard time. You need to quit watching Joel Osteen, son. Oh, did I say that? I'm real sorry about that. No, I'm not. Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. Did you know you can take one of Joel Osteen's sermons, preach it in the average Baptist church, and it'd shout you out? But let me tell you something. I had joy long before that crowd ever come along.
Amen.
Glory to God, I got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you can rejoice. You are going to have some hard times. And son, I mean, if you serve the Lord, you're going to have them. I mean, you're going to have crazy stuff happen to you. I was going down the road the other day and heard something go ping. And then my car started going rum, 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 rum. I said, what in the world is this? You know what? We landed right in a church parking lot. Pulled that thing on the spark plug. Fell out of the motor. I never had that happen before. Amen. Put that thing back in there and the preacher thought he fixed it. And 4 or 5 days later, we was over at Walmart and it said ping. Rum, 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 rum. That time I had to have it pulled in. I wasn't laughing. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, in the hard time, just serve. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I know what you're thinking. He's got 90s. I probably won't even get to all of them, so don't worry about it. But I'm just going to help you what I can tonight. Amen. The right spirit, praise God. I want the spirit of joy, don't you?
Amen.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to stop, and if I don't get any further, I'm going to dwell on this one for a minute. You can have joy in bad times. I remember one day, I was going to preach for anybody know William Souther over here in Roy River? Great old big guy. He used a hand towel for a handkerchief. I've never seen a man. I mean, he's something else. He's my buddy. He pastored well here in the mountain over here. And he called me one evening and said, I want you to come preach for us. I said, okay, I'll come preach for you. And my daddy come home from Frontier Factory. Daddy said, well, I'm going to have to go to the Winston. The doctor said, I went over here to Elkins. Said, I got a big old knot on my head. Long story short, they done some surgery on daddy. Told him he was all right on Friday. The next Wednesday, I was sitting there, and the doctor called and said, could I speak with Mr. Cawthorn? I said, he's not home right now. He said, and this is what the doctor said. Well, I'll tell you, he's got cancer, and it don't look good. That's what he said and hung up. I thought, good night. You ought to at least told him. And instead of telling him, how'd you like to set your daddy down and tell him he may not make it? Let me tell you something. We took him on down to Winston there, and they done some testing. Dr. Chris Sullivan there at Wake Forest, good doctor. I mean, one of the best doctors they've got in the hospital. He said, oh, I can get this. It ain't going to be no problem. They got to operating on my daddy. But you know, we went through some bad times. It's right there at Christmas time. We was going through. But you know, in the middle of all that, we could still praise the Lord. In the middle of all that, I never heard my daddy say one word. He said, well, am I going to die? I said, I don't know. He'd sit there, and he enjoyed Christmas with us. We took over 100 pictures of him that year. And praise God, he lived 10 more years after that. And let me tell you something tonight. Hey, you can have the spirit of joy even in sickness and bad times. I can't tell you won't ever get sick, and Oral Roberts can't either. Boy, what a hypocrite, right? I mean, he could heal the sick, raise the dead, and he built a hospital. Man, he was... By the way, don't that bunch of nuts know the Acts, the book of Acts, where they say they get their doctrine was wrote by a medical doctor? That's right. Amen? I like to put it on them birds. Amen? You say, now, preacher, I just don't think you ought to do that. Well, I don't have the right spirit, but, amen, did you know, number three, let me give this, what about the spirit of peace? Amen, that's inward now. That's just, did you know many, many people live in this world? It can't be. Central time. Did you know that many people live in this world and can't have peace? Brother Marvin, there are people tonight, they lay down their head and they can't have peace. I want the spirit of peace. That's why I can't do anything wrong to anybody and get by with it. I want to have the right spirit on the inside of me. I want to have the right spirit on the inside of me, the spirit of peace. Boy, we need peace tonight, don't we? Amen. You know, so what do you need? First of all, in your heart. If you ain't got peace in your heart tonight, you need to get it right. Maybe you need to go to somebody. I don't know. Maybe it's a relative, a family member, a husband. I don't know. But you need to have it in your heart. By the way, some people ain't got peace with God because they don't do what God said. I want the spirit of peace in my heart tonight. The fruit of the spirit is peace. Did you know you need peace on your job? Man, I want people to get along on the job instead of fussing and fighting. We don't have but two ladies working for us, but I sure don't want them fussing and fighting all the time. Amen? And I don't want to fuss and fight. You ought to have peace in your home. Now, by the way, you know, I've been married long enough to know, you know, husband and wife going to disagree every once in a while. I had a well-known preacher come preach to me, and he said, now, I want you to know, me and my wife have never had a cross word in over 20 years. I started asking, did they live in separate houses? Now, if you never had a cross word with your husband and wife, God bless you, but I can't say that to Catherine House. We've had some disagreements, amen, sometimes. And I guess most time I'm wrong, end up that way most time. But I got a good wife, and most time I am wrong, in all honesty. And I've got a little bit of, Dr. Beatty told me I had a temper. I said, I know, I got it from you. But anyway, that's mean, wasn't it? But anyway, don't tell him I said that. But he's my buddy. But anyway, here's the deal. Can I tell you something? You ought to have seen how he talked to me before he married me and Christy. Good night. I don't know what he said to her, but I know what he said to me. But anyway, here's the deal. Did you know tonight that you need to have peace? There's people who have no peace in their home. It's a fuss and a fight all the time. I want the spirit of peace, don't you? Amen. You say, preacher, this ain't happy. It'll bring revival if you'll listen to it. Yeah. Hey, you ought to have peace in your church. And my wife remarked about something today. Boy, she's a good observer. She come on, she said, man, I'm going to tell you right now, that church got some unity. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, you ought to keep it that way here. Amen? You don't want to fuss and fight and raise a devil and vote a preacher in and out every 2 or 3 years. And you don't want that mess. You got a great testimony. You know, when I told people I was coming here for revival, I don't think I've ever preached in a church. Everybody said, man, that's a great church. That's a good church. Why, you'll have a good week up there. You know what it is? Peace in the church. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I just don't agree. One fellow wanting to put down blue carpet, one fellow wanting to put the red back. Get you a streak of yeller, put it down the middle and forget it, and let brother... Let Brother Miller walk on it and shout on it a while and let it be, glory to God. Who cares what color the carpet is as long as they're getting saved, amen. Have peace, man.
Amen.
Good night, amen. I ought not stop and tell this, if I tell tales, won't never get out of here. But one fella said one night, he said, well, we're going to do something different. Said, I'm going to bring it up in this church. Said, we're going to buy a chandelier. Deacon stood up and he said, I'm against that. I'm against 100%. He said, preacher, well, why are you against it, Deacon? Well, number one, if we had one of them things, we couldn't nobody play it. And he said, and number two, if you really want to spend some money, we need some lights in this place. You ever been to those business meetings when they didn't? I mean, you don't even know why you're there. I was a member of a church, and I ain't lying to you, they could give $10,000 just like that. And one night, I ain't lying, they got in an argument over an ironing board. And for 30 minutes for the fellowship, I started to stand up and say, I'll buy it, just adjourn. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, good night. But can I tell you, I want peace in the church, don't you?
Amen.
I like the spirit of peace. You need peace, amen. Hey, can I tell you, you need peace among your family? In-laws, outlaws. Let me tell you, I ain't got a mom and daddy, but Christy's mom and daddy, we might not, I don't know if they'd agree with me on everything. They got the finest son-in-law in America. They ought to. But, matter of fact, I'm their only son-in-law right now. But I may not be, I don't know. Amen, my sister-in-law. I got a sister-in-law, but she's a good lady. But I love my in-laws. I don't go to Mississippi and fuss and fight with them. I love my daddy-in-law, and I respect my daddy-in-law. Amen. Now you say, well, I just can't get along with my husband's parents and my wife. Well, get along with them best you can. And just remember, at Christmas time, let her bake her cake her way, and you bake yours your way, and don't worry about it. Amen. And you fellas, you mow your yards your way, and let your daddy-in-law mow his way, and don't worry about it. Amen. You don't have to fuss and fight. Have peace. Have the spirit of peace. People go around fussing all the time. Now, you'd be surprised. I know I'm preaching real simple, and I get over there and give you a real deep message, but I'm going to tell you what's killing our churches tonight. It's a little fox that spoiled the vine, and up and down America, it's junk, junk, junk that is hindering us from having revival meeting. Amen. And we need to get all that out and have a spirit of peace in our heart. I'm going to deal a little bit of these. I may not get the rest of them here. Number four. Let me show you the outward ones. Number four is long-suffering. That's patience. And that it's a tolerance and forbearance. Amen. Patience. Man, you ain't never lived in a day. I mean, I'm talking about saved people. Ain't got no patience, Brother Marvin. You say, well, how you know? Well, you know when you was at a stoplight and the fellow behind you is, yum, yum, beep, 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 yum, 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 and he goes a-waving. And you know to get out of the way, you don't want the guns coming next or what, you know. Then he passes you and a sign says, I don't know, Bible Baptist Church, amen, or whatever. Amen. Yeah, good Christian there. Good godly deacon, Brother Honk On. Hallelujah. Amen. Outward is to the world. It's what you ought to be patient in your prayers. You ought to be long-suffering. You know, most Christians, they pray, now, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. Answer me quick, amen. And that's it. It's more to prayer than that. Me and Christy had a request today we've been praying 5 years for. When I was in the mountains, I prayed for one woman 6 years, and 1 month before I left the church, she came to church. And when she came, I wanted to pinch her to see if she is real. I didn't really believe it was happening, amen? I mean, can I tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that we need the long-suffering toward prayer and then other things. I mean, I'll give you a list of them here, but where did my thing go? Here, there it is. Prayers. What about our problems? Well, we're not too long-suffering when it comes to problems, are we? Oh, when our preacher, you know, we have a little storm, we'll jump ship. Wait a minute, let's be patient in that thing. See what God will do. What about long-suffering toward people? Man, I got folks, not everybody likes me. You say, well, you're a radio preacher and you're evangelist, everybody loves you. Yeah. There are some folk that don't like me. But let me tell you something, I'm going to be patient toward them. Let me tell you what I do. I never answer criticism. If you write me a letter in the mail, it goes in the trash can if it's argumentative. By the way, I do not debate the Bible. I don't do it on Facebook. I never private chat anybody on Facebook, and I'm getting my Twitter started. But Twitter is not to get on there and argue the Bible. I'm not going to debate the Bible. I'm too busy preaching it.
Amen.
And you want to know something? I won't long suffer in my life toward people. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, they may do me wrong, but I'll do them right. You got to have long suffering toward your partner. Did you know that's your wife or your husband? Well, a lot of people said, well, we're getting a divorce now, preacher. You know, we're just not compatible. How long have you been married? Well, 37 years. You're just now finding out after 37 years you don't fit each other? You'll be dead for long. Just tough her out and keep a trucking, buddy. Amen. I mean, you know. If I ain't preaching right, Brother Marvin, you come here and finish this, will you? But, we ain't got no long suffering. They just spent time, my mom and daddy. I mean, other people, you know, when they got married, man, they got married for life. Now, Mama finally had to leave Daddy there at the end. He got so mean, he about killed her. But here's the deal. I'm just simply telling you, friend, that we got to have long-suffering, amen. And then our path. You know, people tonight are not long-suffering according to what God wants them to do. I see young preachers, man, they just jump out there. I want to have the right spirit of long-suffering, don't you? And then I want to say, none of that, but a spirit of gentleness. What to be gentle toward the saints and toward the sinners. Amen. I mean, be gentle with people. Gentleness, you know what that is? Kindness. You know, God's people sometimes are the most unkind folk you ever seen. And we do it and don't think about it. I mean, you ever been with anybody in a restaurant? You go in there and they take the bread and beat it on the table. Hey, waitress, this biscuit's too hard. Bing, bing, bing. Man. I remember one day, I'll never forget this. I remember one day I ordered, I was at Cracker Barrel. I love Cracker Barrel. I was at Cracker Barrel and I ordered breakfast. And the biscuits hadn't come out or something. And the lady said, ma'am, sir, I don't have biscuits right now, but can I bring you toast? I said, it's fine with me. I hadn't had toast and bacon and eggs in years. And so I sat there and eat that. And Christy ordered something else. She got fried okra, and her okra was hard. I don't know what it was. And Christy said, ma'am, I'm not fussing, but said, could you? She said, oh, yes. She said, you can't eat that. I said, it's fine. I'm going to bring you some. She comes back, and she's apologizing. I said, watch this, what I'm going to do. Christy said, don't you get on that woman. I said, I ain't going to get on that woman. Just watch what I do. What I was trying to tell her was take a lesson from me and you'll learn something real spiritual. I grabbed that okra, that old hard okra, and I just popping it in my mouth. And that woman said, I'm so sorry. I said, no, ma'am, this is good. I said, don't you worry about a thing. I just complimented her. She looked at me, she said, well, thank you, sir. I don't get that much. I want to tell you, I want to be kind and gentle. I'm not always gentle. I'm kind of rough. Me and Christians, we was just, both of us, naturally, we were just blunt. I mean, if you watch us on Facebook, you think we're about ready to get a divorce. I seen that cake auction this morning. I thought, man, I'm a yo with everybody. But I want to be gentle with people. But you know, at our best, sometimes we lose it, don't we? If I don't get the rest of this, I'm going to tell you this because it'll help you. I'm not always spiritual, and you ain't either. But I want the spirit of gentleness. I rode from Mississippi. I pastored in Sparta, North Carolina for 6.5 years. And Miss Lana knows where this is, the drugstore up there, Kerr Drug. Well, it's not Kerr Drug, it's Walgreens. I rode from Mississippi, Leb Myers. When you ride from Mississippi and you come back through the mountains and you get back to Sparta, you're not singing Amazing Grace. You're ready to go home and lay down somewhere, under the bed, on the bed, or anywhere you can fall. Amen? I pull up the drugstore. Chris said, let's get you medicine. I said, okay. I don't have a simple name like Blackburn or Smith. Or Miller, there's most Millers in here, and I love every one of you. I love Millers. I got some good friends in Ashe County, Millers. Amen. Anybody know Ronnie Miller? That's my friend up there. Amen. The molasses man. I just don't have a simple name like that. I have a name, Catherine. Don't know where it come from. Don't know where they stole it at and tagged it on our family. I have no idea. We pull up there to get my medicine. She said, your name, please. And Christy said, Ricky Catherine. And the lady said, Ricky Cochran. And Christy said, no, ma'am, Ricky Catherine. She said, Ricky Cochran. And Christy said, no, ma'am, Ricky Catherine. I'd had about all that I could take. I leaned over there and I looked at that little speaker thing and I said, Catherine, Cothren. And about that time, the Lord said, boy. And about that time, something went boom. Christy said, it ain't no call for that. I said, there's an echo in this car. I mean, the Lord rung me, she rung. Chris said, Ricky, you pastor in this town. You got better sense than that. You'll ruin your testimony. At that point in time, I didn't really care, but then I began to think about it. And I thought, oh my, what have I done? That woman come back over there, and I done what most of you done, put it in gear and drove off. No, I didn't. I said, hey, lady. I said, I'm sorry. She said, what? You didn't say nothing. I thought, well, you must be deaf. I said, lady, I'm telling you, I apologize to you for what I said. I said, I am so sorry. She said, well, it's okay. I didn't think anything about it. She may not have, but I did. The Holy Ghost did. Did you know you can't smart people off and get by with it? I want to be in the right. I want to be kind and gentle. Amen. I'm just going to hit the rest of these and we're going home. If I don't, you won't never come back tomorrow night. Amen. But can I give you the goodness? Amen. Gentleness, goodness. Amen. You know what that's got to do with your walk and your work and your worship. I want to be. That's righteousness. I want to have the spirit of goodness inside me. The spirit of doing right. Not better than somebody, but just doing right, don't you? I want my testimony to be right. If you say Ricky Cothran, I don't want somebody to say, oh, yeah, he owes me $100. Oh, yeah, he didn't pay his bill. Oh, yeah, he owes the hospital and the funeral home. Did you know I got a funeral director? That's my friend. Y'all need to pray for Brother Raymond Marlowe. Brother Raymond, he's not right with God. I'll tell you what he did to me the other day. I was in a service, it's been about a few years ago. I was in a service with him. He gave me, I started out, you know, he works Miller's funeral. He gave me the undertaker's handshake. Yeah. Oh, that's weird, ain't it? You know, I've had people do that. Who? Somebody taught me that. But anyway, I've got a friend of mine that's in the funeral business. And you know what they told me the other day? Seriously. Preacher, I've got $400,000 on the books where people ain't paid me. I want to tell you something, friend. I want the right spirit, don't you? I want to do it. I'm not perfect. I'm not pharisaical. I just want to do right. I want to do right, don't you? Nobody owes me anything. If somebody gives me something, I take it. But nobody, my brother used to run a garbage route. He said, you know, I used to have preachers walk out and say, hey, I'm a preacher. You didn't pick my garbage up for free. I would never tell a man that. I never expect a man to buy my meal. I never do anything like that. If they do it, it's fine with me. But I never ask for anything. I want to be right and clean before God. You ever heard this saying? Well, if he's a preacher, the woods are full of them. I don't want that to be said about me. Now, I'm going to speak about these last three and we're done. I'm sorry this thing's so long, but I've got the right spirit. These last ones are upward. That's between you and God, faith. Hebrews 11 gives us the definition of faith, man. You know, I want to have the spirit of faith, Brother Marvin. I want to just absolutely believe what God says and believe God will do what He says He'll do.
Amen.
I want to have, you know, when you're doing charathons, and I'm going to get Brother Hayworth in on one of these. I'm going to see if he's any good at raising money. And I believe he is. I believe he can do it. Amen. And Brother Sammy Allen and Brother Gary Hall taught me how to do it. And Brother Sammy, you ever get around him, he can teach you how. But I'll tell you this. Did you know when you're doing those things, you don't never know where your money's coming from? And I ain't lying to you. One day I was sitting there at the microphone and I said, Dear Lord, I prayed this on the air. I said, Dear God, I said, you own the cattle of 1,000 hills. I said, it's about time you kill one of them, sell it, and give us some money. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what cows sell for, but in 2 minutes, somebody call and give $1,000. I'm telling you, friend, you just got to believe, and I believe God. You say, well, you depend on people to keep that radio running. No, sir, I depend on the God of the people to keep that radio running.
Amen.
My life's verse is, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. And if God can't do it, we'll shut her down. But I got a big God, amen. Then I want to give you this one. Amen. On the spirit of faith. I want to have the right spirit tonight. Amen. The spirit of meekness or mildness. Amen. Or submissiveness. Boy, don't we need that? I want to be submissive and mild and gentle in my speech and in my service and to my shepherd, my pastor. Now, I want to say this. I pick at Brother Alan Barker all the time. But there's a man of God. And ain't nobody going to put their hands on the preacher. Amen. That's the man of God. And by the way, I reverence my pastor. I reverence any man of God. I draw up today at some of the statements that people make about preachers. Man, praise God, he ain't much of a preacher. Whoa, 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 whoa. If he's a man of God, you better leave your hands off him. God kill you before the sun goes down, friend. Brother Marvin Blackburn back here is my friend. I wouldn't put my hand on that man of God. I'd be afraid God would kill me, buddy. Hey, I'm talking about, you know, people, they don't be submitted to nothing. Did you know if you're in a Sunday school class, you ought to be submitted to your Sunday school teacher?
Yeah.
You folk in this choir, man, somebody has worked with y'all. Amen. Y'all are just good. But you know, the choir leader, you ought to be submitted to your choir leader.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And praise God, the deacons ought to be submitted to the pastor. And you say, well, who's the pastor submit to? God. Amen. And here's the deal. Did you know not the spirit? And then the last one is this. Well, the last one's something we really need, ain't it? The spirit, the temperance. Self-control. Man, we're living in a day, people said, I'll do what I want to, I'll go where I want to, and it ain't none of your business. I want to have a little bit of control, don't you? Over my body. I mean, you got 60-year-old preachers running off with 20-year-old women. Man, that's a lack of self-control, man. I mean, people don't control their mind. They watch any old thing. I'm not mad about that. I'm just simply telling you, I want my mind to be clean, don't you? Did you know you soon will be what you think? You think on it long enough. You think about committing murder long enough, you kill somebody. You don't believe that. The Bible said, when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. You think about somebody else's wife or husband long enough, you'll commit sin. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. It's in the Bible. You better be careful. I want the spirit of temperance. I want to be self-controlled. And you know, even in my desires. Now I'm talking about gain. Well, who wouldn't want a lot of money? Who wouldn't want a nice home to live in? Who wouldn't want a nice car? And God said, you know, if God gives me that stuff, it's fine. By the way, I got a car out there. It's paid for. It's a 13, but it's paid for. Financed it for 6 years. Paid it off in 3. God's been good to me for that. But let me tell you, if God don't give me anything, man, I grew up so poor, we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken, licked other people's fingers. We didn't have nothing. I mean, you know, bad. We didn't have nothing. I shouldn't have said that, but every time I say that, my mama looks over the balcony of heaven and gets madder than the devil at me. Amen. She don't like to eat it. She didn't like it, and she was living. She won't like it now. We might not have been that poor, but I'll tell you one thing. We didn't have a lot of stuff. I'll tell you what we did have. Amen. We had some common sense and some self-control about us, and we were raised even as kids to have some self-control. We didn't walk in somebody's house and say, peanut butter sandwich and a Pepsi, please. You say, what would have happened? You don't want to know. But anyway, I'm closing. I'm going to close with this. I'm talking about the right spirit. I'm closing. But let me help you. I'm not trying to be too long, but folk, I come this way to help you. What I preach to you tonight may not register with you. I mean, I don't know, but our spirit's got to be right. David said, Lord, he said, renew in me a right spirit. I'm going to close with this story. Brother Marvin would know a little bit about this. Miss Lana might would even know a little bit about this, but Brother Marvin would probably know it better than anybody. My daddy was a rather difficult man. When my daddy died alone. My daddy died with 4 kinds of cancer in his body. My daddy didn't have a friend in the world except me when he died. I was the only friend in the world he had. He had already misused and abused him, split the home up. Mama had to leave. He got so mean and nobody could handle him. But before that, the way I was raised, even when my daddy was in church, my daddy did a lot of things against our family that he shouldn't have done. And I guess I got bitter at that. And I was telling you about that cancer, that knot come up on his head, and they took him down to Baptist Hospital. For 13 and one half hours, he stayed in surgery. They took his eye out and his whole head and just had a big old flap of skin over it right there. And Brother Jerry Yarborough, Preacher Jerry Yarborough, told me, he said, you don't want to go in there by yourself. You're not prepared to see what you're getting ready to see. And out rolled this man that they'd worked on for 13 and a half hours, and Daddy couldn't talk, and he looked up at me, and he did like that and mouthed something to me. I don't know what he said. And it so touched my heart that night I went home. We was living in Ronda, North Carolina, right there beside, across in the town hall in that great big house. We had bought that house, that great big two-story house right there on the bank across to the town hall there in Ronda on 268, Highway 268. And I went in the top end of that house, Brother Marvin, and I got on my knees. And all that come back to me, how my daddy had treated us and how my daddy had done us wrong. And I didn't even realize it, Brother Hayworth. There was bitterness had built up in me toward my daddy. And I got on my knees that night in the top of that 10-room house, and I said, oh, God, if you won't let my daddy live, I said, please forgive me for all. And you know what I did that night? I got clean, boy. I got all that junk out of me. Daddy did a lot of things wrong before that. Daddy did a lot of things wrong after that. But I can say this. I was the last man ever spoke to my daddy before he died of his family. I loved my daddy. I believe I'll see him again. And right here's the deal, friend. I don't hold no bitterness in my heart tonight. There comes a point in your life, if you want to have the fruit of the Spirit, you've got to lay down the old hateful spirit. I'm not always right, but I want to keep it. I want to keep a right spirit with preachers and churches. You know that? I do. I want to keep it right. Now, I hope this sermon's helped you tonight. Let's have the instrument players come, and let's do this. Let's everybody stand up for a minute. I'm going to pray. We'll bow our heads tonight, and I'm going to have them play. Maybe tonight you'd like to come to the altar. Maybe you don't have any of that in your heart, but maybe you'd like to come and say, preacher, I want that right spirit in my life. Preacher, there's somebody tonight that I'm just a little crossed up at, or some things happened years ago, or maybe it's just personal between you and God. You say, preacher, I just, if I'm going to have revival, I've got to get that out and get the right spirit. Or maybe you ain't done anything wrong, but you just want to say, Lord, will you help me tonight to have the right spirit always in my life? It's hard. You've got to work at it all the time. You can say, I have the right spirit today. Something will come up tomorrow. You know that, Father? Take this message and use it. Bless the invitation tonight. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, as they begin to